Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, Football Tuesday. Why don't we have that? Why don't we have Football Tuesday?
We can. Let's just do it.
Just casually.
Yeah. Low.
Is it Hockey Tuesday?
It's low key Football Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. Lo-fi.
No reeds?
Right. Reed free.
No sponsor?
No. It'll never last.
We'll have Ross today at 4. I don't want to necessarily get into this now, but I'm really curious what Ross's Mike Tomlin take is for later. I did ADP chasing this morning, and my guys get a little, I mean, they're, I don't want to say this in a negative way, but if, when you hear somebody say like they're looking for clicks, My guys kind of talk like they're always looking for clicks, you know, just to the extremes. And my Chiefs buddy, Davis Maddock, is like, oh, Andy Reid needs to be fired. Andy Reid. Needs to be fired. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, could we have a season here where the top three or four longest tenured coaches end up moving? That would be Tomlin, Reed, on his own team. I mean, Reed's older, like with the, I'm not counting the Eagles' years.
Right.
Tomlin, Reed, John Harbaugh, And McDermott.
McDermott's right after that, right?
He's fourth.
Yeah.
Can you see this kind of upheaval happening in the coaching ranks this year?
No.
None of it.
I don't know about none of it. The Tomlin thing, it really just comes down to how much of an appetite he has to recognize that maybe they're never going to make a move on him, and it might be best for all parties if he just sort of, if you'd like it, I will leave. I feel like that's where we are with him. I don't think Andy Reid is going anywhere.
He's older enough where maybe he would retire some point.
I suppose, but I don't.
Tomlin's younger than us.
God, really?
53. Yeah, he's 53.
Wow.
How about that guy yesterday? He's like, I thought you guys would be younger. That felt so good to have somebody say that to us at the
right.
at the grocery store.
Like, right.
I pictured you guys being younger.
Yeah.
Oh, but I think that's a compliment. Reed is 67. Not quite Pete Carroll, but.
No. And there was sort of a, this might have been just wishful thinking on like my part, not so much last year when they lost the Super Bowl, but when they won it the year before, like, oh, maybe it's, you know, it's time for him to ride off into the sunset.
Like Kelsey.
Right. But I don't think they move on him if they miss. He could get tired of it, I suppose. Like, I've done all my winning. I'm fine to leave. You know, be leaving on a pretty sour note if this, you know, this great dynasty here of the 2020s were to end on a year where they missed the playoffs and he walks out the door. But, you know, it could happen. Life keeps going. So I don't know. Like, those two are so – they're so entrenched, I don't think either of them gets fired.
No, I think that's right. I think fired happens if you have a really ugly interpersonal situation between ownership, not even the GM. The GM's almost irrelevant.
Yep.
With coaches like this. The owner and the coach just are not seeing things the same way anymore. This happens with has happened with Parcells, with it happened famously with Jimmy Johnson, you know, lots of examples where it just grows old. And you don't want to work for this guy anymore. And you have enough status as a coach where you can work somewhere else if that's what you want to do, or basically do anything you want. It's enough money.
Yeah.
It's enough of a career. You can go to TV. Whatever you want to do, you can do.
Is Harbaugh at that level?
I don't know.
I don't want to definitively say one way or the other, which I think might be an indication that he's not. Right. At least I'm telling you, I'm open to him not being at the Tomlin Reed level.
Can you guess his age?
I'm going to guess that he is, what did you say Tomlin is?
53.
John Harbaugh is 56.
I was hoping you would guess like that. 63.
Okay.
He's closer to Reed than Tomlin. He's closer to Reed than he is to Tomlin in age. 18 years with the Ravens, almost all good. Got a ring. This could be a game Sunday, Pittsburgh at Baltimore, where whoever loses is just, they've just had it.
Yeah.
With everything. I mean, Baltimore has the quarterback, although he looks bad lately too. Then you have McDermott, and I don't know. It's never usually us that brings it up. It's always callers who bring it up. But what would have to happen for there to be a change here? Could that happen? Could it happen if they get to the playoffs, which they probably will, and they go out on the road as much time as people spend and we've spent on how right now the teams that would be at home in the first round are maybe not that impressive. They're still at home, and they're pretty good at least. And you might not be better than that. So if the Bills were to lose in the wild card, would that be the thing that tips it? I don't have to dwell on this.
It could. It could. I mean, I don't even know what that is to say, because anything could happen. But that would clearly be a sign of going the wrong way. You know, year over year, if you know it ends up there. And I don't know, like, is you know, Pegula, I think you have to sort of, I don't know, paint by numbers a little bit with him to an extent, because there's not really any, you don't really get any, he's itchy, or, you know, he's banging on McDermott's door, like, to get to a Super Bowl. There's never any of that with the Bills in general. And so I don't know if Pegula is pacing around. It's possible, really, and I'm not saying this just for effect, that he is like a fan who's impatient and calls us and says, like, when are we gonna do something?
Well, what
it's possible.
What are the Sabres as an example to this? Are they an example of that he is that way or that he isn't? On one hand, there have been lots of changes. On the other, have there been enough? Are the Sabres a team that strikes you as, like, they act quickly? I mean, they've been so bad.
No. That's an example of, I think the impression we're under is that he doesn't care at all about it.
I don't think that, I want to say. I don't think that he doesn't care. I just think that, you know, he might not be that invested. Is that the same thing? Like, financially.
That's kind of what I mean when I say
financially
he doesn't care. I mean, I'm sure he cares about the state of the franchise to an extent, but does he care enough to do something about it? To eat money on coaching contracts or GM contracts or whatever.
I think maybe he used to.
Yeah, I don't think anymore. And I don't know. Like, this is an easy thing to say. It's circumstantial entirely. But the fact that the Bills have been as stable and very good to great under McDermott and Bean, and the Sabres are spinning while he's changed people out, could for him. This is not the, I don't trust him to hire a new football coach or new football GM. It's, he might not have the appetite for change because stable has equated to success, and unstable, despite Kevin Adams' sixth year on the job, it has been, you know, that's been, there was a lot of change before he got here, and that began the cycle of, you know, spiraling here and non-playoff seasons, or it continued it. It started, you know, before all of that. It started with Darcy and Lindy, the not making the playoffs. It goes back that long. Holy cow. So I don't know, like, what his appetite for change would be, you know, based on that. I sort of feel more like, and I've been, maybe you might sense this from me. I feel like the way McDermott has talked at different points throughout this season has led me to feel as though, and it's not to say like this has to be the right decision if a decision gets made, if something changes based on a wild card round loss or even not that. Maybe they just don't get to the Super Bowl and there is like real roll up the sleeves, what are we going to do about it? And I could see a scenario where McDermott finds his way to taking Bean out back. I just feel like McDermott has subtly, I think, just expressed some dissatisfaction with the roster in different ways. Like he has said certain things. He has also pointed out how excited he is about Mecole Hardman, as an example. And like that doesn't have to be anything but honest from him, but it also could be, I've been waiting for someone that could do this, and I'm so happy to have a guy who hasn't played a snap all year on my team now. Like, I feel like that could be perceived as a subtle, like, yeah, you know, we're not in lockstep like we used to be anymore. I'm not getting what I think I need or want from that end of the building. And so I also think that all the hubbub that Bean created himself probably doesn't serve him well with McDermott. Like, I just think the spectacle of that hanging over all of this is a bad look. And I think McDermott's a pretty buttoned up guy. And I think Pegula really appreciates that about him, that he's not going to take stuff like that out for a ride. And,
well, you mean he lost his cool, basically.
Yeah.
Bean.
Yeah.
And maybe he said too much. And not in like the most professional way.
Right.
Yep.
So that to me, that's kind of where my head is at. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, really, it really just, it's hard to know where the owner, where his head, you know, they've got a new stadium opening.
Right.
They've been the picture of stability and to a degree excellence. I mean, they're not winning trophies, but they've been year over year one of the very best teams in the league, and Pegula might just want to keep everything going, moving into the new place.
Would make sense.
So, like, I think that could be a factor too in anything happening, almost despite the results, because they could very easily just say, you know, despite what I just said about Bean and McDermott and sensing that there's like maybe a fork, a split coming or happening, they all could.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Ownership could just go, despite whatever McDermott might think, as I'm sort of guessing at here, ownership would just go, no, we've been great. We had one bad year. We're moving into a new stadium. Just shut up. Let's keep going. Who are we drafting in April?
How bad a year is it even?
Not that bad.
They have had more, at least it, I think this is right. I mean, it's certainly what we talk about more often. It just seems injuries keep coming and have been problematic for the Bills, maybe more than ever. Now you even have offensive linemen hurt. That's never happened to them. So you've got that aspect of this season. The difference is, the biggest difference is New England. They have won the division 5 years in a row, the Bills, without too much competition. New England at the beginning a little bit, Miami in the middle. I mean, that was to the last game of the season at least, but mostly it's been pretty, the Jets have never been any kind of threat. It's mostly been pretty easy. This year, I mean, what would the Bills, I don't know this answer, but what would probably be their over-under for wins? 11.5? Cincinnati, at the Patriots, the Browns, Philadelphia, Jets, last two at home. So three home games. 11, they're 8-4. 11.5? So 11 or 12 wins? That's right with their last 5 years.
Right.
The difference is there's a team in front of them. And that is not changing.
No.
Like, last night, it's the Giants, but, I mean, just that's a really impressive, that's what a really good team does. They just get away from you, and
yeah,
it's an easy night.
There's no falling flat. There's just
no stress.
We're just putting this game out of its misery. You don't have to watch the second half.
You know, right.
Right. There's no need. This thing is over. That's exactly what happened last night.
So,
and that's not really, like, they can't control how good New England is. They can control how well they match up with New England. They can control losing to New England, to an extent. But they can't decide how quickly Mike Vrabel is going to turn a 4-13 win team. 2 years in a row, by the way. The last 2 years, they were 4-13. And here they are sitting there at 11-2 in year two with this quarterback. I don't know who was, so I don't even know what it is to say. I was not expecting them to be that good, even with the soft schedule. I just figured eventually, even yesterday, having seen them already go 10-2, like, well, this team has a pass rush. I didn't know at the time that one of them was going to be benched, to start the game, Abdul Carter, but, you know, maybe this is a game, everybody stubs their toe. Maybe this is the night where he stubs his toe. Nope.
That's a fun story. Abdul Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. Interim coach.
Relatable. Okay, well, New England is the story. Whether you thought it was coming or not, thought they'd be good, but right, 11-2, good.
I thought we had at least until like next year to have them at this level where they'd be, you know, I thought the games against them would be tense and they would matter, but that the Bills would still be the better team. And, you know, I don't know that I expected them to coast like they did last year. I mean, again, New England was 4-13 last year. If you thought they'd be like a 10 or 11 win team, then it probably would have still been competitive now. But they're already an 11 win team and they still have four games left.
There's nothing to do about it, right? Like, it's not over. So New England at 11-2, now they have a bye week, then they play the Bills. Even if the Bills win this week and next week, they're still a game out, and they don't have the tiebreaker. They need the Patriots to lose to either the Jets or Miami in the last two games. There's also a game in Baltimore that won't be easy, but it's the division games that will decide it if the Bills and Patriots end up tied, because the Bills have the loss to Miami, and New England does not have another – they don't have any – division right. loss. The Bills would be their only one in this case. So tiebreakers are leaning there. And, you know, it's not over. I don't think it's not quite like last year. I mean, we talk all the time about the benefit of the bye week and the rest and everything. And even like last year, the Bills didn't get the bye, but they basically took week 18 off, which, by the way, was New England getting to 4-13 by beating them. I mean, it was probably a game they were better off losing. Anyway, you had to keep going. Until week 18, when you didn't have to because it didn't really matter anymore, you had to keep going. And there's nothing about this situation that is different than that, I think. I mean, there's still the head-to-head game next week.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in the playoffs either. So last year was more the time for any conversation about how to play the last month.
Right.
Really, this year, like 2 years ago, you have to push. And, you know, that's not how you want it, but you got to get in.
Yeah.
First of all, you got to get in.
Right.
And then maybe you luck out and get the division, if not a bye week also. That's going to be tough at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Obviously, you have to win that game there in 2 weeks on the heels of winning this game, I think. If you even, I think this is right. The Bills can get to 9-4, they beat the Bengals. So that would be just complete. Everybody's played the same amount of games now, and I'm two back. And there are four games left, right? And the first one is against the team I'm chasing. I don't get that one. It's over.
The division is clinched.
I can't catch you. I can tie you, but I can't pass you because, you know, even if you tank your final three games, you've got two head-to-heads on me, and I'm done. So, you know, winning this week keeps it alive, and then you need to win in Foxborough in order to even go to the final 3 weeks with a chance for the division. The chances are, because of the wild card traffic, the Bills will have to keep going even after that. If that were to happen, right? They come out of that game 9-5 in New England. They lose that game. They're probably still in pretty decent shape for a wild card spot, but they're going to have to keep banging at that. They're not going to be able to coast in, maybe all the way to the end, if they drop that game. That's the one scenario where this could end, you know, in less than 2 weeks.
Right. And you have to keep playing for the wild card, but that's all there would be left.
Right.
If it's 12-2 versus 9-5 by the end of next week. Well, new territory here. 803-0550. The Patriots. So next week, as we're saying, and you probably already knew it, the Bills are in Foxborough. Know the line? FanDuel has a spread.
I have not looked yet, no.
If you guess it and you're even like a little bit off, you might want to play it. That's how I roll. If I'm off, not usually, but in theory I would roll like this, where if I guess it a few points off, then I, you know, this is what I think I guess.
Yeah. Boy, after last night, Didn't I yesterday say a few times I thought the Bills would be favored there?
I don't know if you did.
Maybe in a playoff game, I was thinking. I don't know. Either way.
Sam said it. Eric said it.
Okay.
I know they both thought that.
Then I think I was in line with them. I think that was a mistake. I'm going to guess that New England right now, that game, they are a 2-point favorite.
1.5. Very good. It's one of the best years for the Bills-Patriots rivalry. All those Brady years were not rivalry.
No.
That was not a rivalry situation.
No, that was a bludgeoning.
You have like the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, it was kind of okay. How many years do we have where both teams were good? 1963. How many years do we have where both teams were like contenders? 80, maybe? 80, 81? Then 98, 99, the Jets rise up there. The Dolphins are good. The Colts, there's a lot going on in the division then, but like mid-Bledsoe, because the Super Bowl years, Bledsoe's 93, and they're not anywhere yet.
Right.
By 94, they were, and the Bills were down. So mid-90s, and then, I mean, they met in the playoffs.
In 21.
21. But New England was not on the Bills' level.
No.
As that game showed. So
yeah.
It hasn't been that many times.
No, that's right.
This is the Bills' fault. It's the same thing with the Jets. Like, there haven't been many moments where they're both good. It's also the Jets' fault.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's funny. I Armando tweeted during the game last night, and I commented on it. I'm not going to pull it up. I don't remember exactly what he said, but something about Drake May. Like, watching him, what does it make you think right now? Or watching New England right now with Drake May. I'm like, that I wasn't emotionally prepared for them to be this good so soon. And somebody commented on that to me. What do you mean so soon? Like, you kind of had a walk for 5 years here, which is right. Like, that, what that is that's the drought. That's the longevity of them lording over us for 20 years and us only getting 5 years out of it. One of which we played them in the playoffs, right? It's not like they were completely on the side of the road broken down when the Bills got good. They weren't on their level, but they were still there, right? We weren't clear of them completely. And here we are again, 4-13 the last 2 years. Draft your quarterback and it's showtime for them.
Feel free to tell us how we're looking past the Bengals. 803-0550 is the number. The Bills and the Patriots, and I guess I still want to call it a race in the AFC East, but the most significant, unexpected, or mostly anyway, unexpected aspect of this year is the Bills are kind of having a Bills season, and it's not enough. They're down, not even just not ahead, but down in the division race. We'll look for your calls next at 803-0550. Ross Tucker today at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Tuesday, some are saying. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.